Welcome to the Analysts of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a little bit of day three reaction. Lesser news today, but let me give us the ability to look at some context. So a couple of trade notes on the quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew appears to be drawing some quarterback interest out on the market, potentially a backup, and they figure to be drafting a first-round quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, so are not going to need the services of their on-again, off-again starter, Gardner Minshew, but could probably suffice as one of the better backups in the league. So you figure there's some opportunity there, maybe as a bridge start or something like that. So be on the lookout for potentially that trade. The no specific interest, but no specific team mentioned, but Ian Rappaport specifically noting that there is interest around the league for him. So be on the lookout for that. Russell Wilson trade offer is reported to be, I believe it's Dan Patrick, three firsts, a third, and two starters. So just piecing some things together. Anthony Miller has been someone that's popped up in some trade rumors, so you wonder if that's potentially one of those starters. It doesn't seem like it's that. Three firsts is a lot, but this team's probably going to be like a later half of the round team if they add Russell Wilson. So I think you would pay that if you're Chicago, but I can see why they didn't take it for Seattle. So I'm sure Seattle's looking for something more than that, specifically a higher first as well. So just it's not reported as, it's been reported as not being dead. I think it was a Schefter report that it's not over, basically. It's still possible. So I'm not sure how much sense that's going to make for the Dalton aspect of this. I don't know if they trade Dalton in that or what, but it'd be interesting to see sort of how that all stacks up. But this Russell Wilson thing, I don't think it's a sure bet that he's going back to Seattle. All right, turning to the running back position. Let's start with the first one, which is Jamal Williams, 2 years, $7 million to go to Detroit. I think this does have some implications. He probably plays a role. This isn't a backup money type deal. This is very much, hey, you're going to come in and play a role type of signing. $3.5 million a year is not nothing, especially for a backup running back. So it was a couple of years ago where it was like $5 million was where the starters were going. So $3.5 million is not nothing in terms of these these running back deals, especially the multiple year commitment. So I think this hurts Kerryon Johnson, and we'll see, maybe he's a potential trade guy or cut guy, something like that. So just keep that in mind about the Kerryon Johnson moving piece. I don't think Kerryon's going to be a firm hold, one injury away guy if he's there in August, but maybe it draws some interest where he has a better situation. It might just be a divorce that they need type situation. Marlon Mack, 1 year, $2 million. Notice a stark difference there in terms of commitment and amount of money. So I think this is very clearly a prove-it type deal coming off of his Achilles. This does not scare me if I am a Jonathan Taylor owner at all. It actually doesn't even scare me if I'm a Jordan Wilkins owner at this point. I think Jordan Wilkins is probably still the better bet to be the backup. We have just seen with these Achilles, they've been harder to come back from than we expect. There's a lot of complicating follow-on injuries from this. So just keep that in mind there with Marlon Mack, that I'm not, while he's back there, I don't see this as a threat to Jonathan Taylor. I don't see this as a sure one injury away type of situation. Deonta Foreman is a non-tender for the Tennessee Titans, so that makes him a free agent. It doesn't necessarily preclude him going back to Tennessee, so just be mindful of that. But he's on multiple teams now. You kind of wonder if there's something there in terms of him always moving around. McNichols is back for 2021. We'll see what that work share between him and Darrington Evans is the one injury away guy to Derrick Henry. Lamar Miller returns to Washington for a one-year deal. If this news escaped you, it's notable because it escaped me as well that Lamar Miller was actually the backup running back in Washington to end the season. So they bring him back for a one-year deal. I did not remember that. They bring him back for a one-year deal. Mike Boone is being signed for a two-year, it's guaranteed at $2.6 million deal with Denver. So that's notable. They have been pretty lukewarm on wanting wanting Philip Lindsay back. So that's notable there in terms of they basically gave him like a really low tender. And now they bring in Mike Boone. Makes you wonder if there's something there as well. So this probably isn't a good sign for Royce Freeman. Maybe he gets cut, something like that, and can end up on a different team. But they bring more competition into that room. I don't necessarily think it's a threat to Melvin Gordon, although this is interesting from a, hey, could he factor in as being a one injury away type of guy? But notice that's actually more than Marlon Mack signed for guaranteed. So again, it's over a couple of years, but we don't have the full numbers, just a $2.6 million guarantee, but that's more than that's actually more than Marlon Mack drew. So just keep that in mind. All right, so the wide receiver position is at a little bit in flux. So no Fuller yet, no Juju yet, no Kenny Galladay yet. So I have news on Galladay here, but Smokey Brown won for $3.5 million for the Raiders. I actually love that. Love that, because I think he could be the wide receiver one there, especially with Aguilar moving on. He can play. There's questions about how ball dominant, how much usage Henry Ruggs can actually draw. You have Waller, Brian Edwards, we'll see. But Smokey Brown could absolutely be like a 120 target type of guy. So just keep that in mind there. This is a great signing for him as a bridge guy. AJ Green, a not great signing. So he signs for twice as much as Smokey Brown does. I'm not like he might be twice the player, but he wasn't last year. So that's pretty remarkable in terms of like that's a really bad deal. So 1 for 8 with Arizona. Spotrac projected him at $6 million. So they overpaid for him. You looked at some of the other stats, like some of the other payments. Like Curtis Samuel was basically like 8% lower than Spotrac's assessment of him. So AJ Green, big overpay there. I'm not sure what that money number was all about. Can't imagine he had a lot of competition for that $8 million number. But that obviously hurts Christian Kirk to a degree, right? Maybe it's not. Maybe he's just better than AJ Green at this point in AJ Green's career. I'm open to that idea, but this can't be a great sign for Christian Kirk's loyalty from the franchise. T.Y. Hilton, they want to have him return in Indianapolis, but there has been no other known interest, so he's just kind of sitting out there right now. I think a return does make some sense, and he has the ability to come in and be the leading receiver for them at this point. So just be on the monitor for that. Again, he's kind of in that AJ Green realm of like a prove it deal at this point in his career with some injuries racking up. Curtis Samuel, 3 years, $35 million to go to Washington. This is a reuniting with his OC from Carolina and Scott Turner and Ron Rivera from 2019. So just keep that in mind. I think that some of the usage stuff on him is pretty interesting. So it was Spotrac had him at 12.4 million projected. He takes 11.6. So again, that's I think it was 6 to 8%, something like that, lower than what they projected. Which makes you wonder if that's factoring into other of the top guys like Will Fuller and, it's a small sample size, but Will Fuller and Galladay and Juju Smith-Schuster makes you wonder if they're coming in 10, 15% lower than they expected, and that's kind of where they're at. With Curtis Samuel, 105 targets in 2019, caught 54 balls. He was very inefficient from a converting yards per route, basically converting ADOT. He was very very ineffective at doing so. 14.6 ADOT, one of the top 10 guys in the league. New coaching staff, new usage pattern. 97 targets, so down a little bit. 77 catches, up pretty significantly in terms of catch rate and all that stuff. And an ADOT 7.3. So he goes from being one of the top 10 guys in the NFL in ADOT to being one of the bottom 10 guys in terms of qualifiers at the position. So that is a very notable difference there. It's a very notable distinction. So just keep that curious thing in mind. That doesn't typically change that much. Usually you are what you are. You either are a vertical receiver or you are an underneath receiver. You don't typically see that big of a change. So just keep that all in mind. I think it'd be interesting to see what this usage pattern turns out to be. With Kenny Galladay, there is a potential visit with the Giants. RotoWorld did note, or I guess it's NBC Edge, noted that he's actually going to go visit in person. That is a notable thing because a lot of these have been over the phone. They want to get their hands and eyes on him in terms of his injury stuff. Otherwise, after Galladay, still waiting on Fuller, Juju, and we'll see in perspective where they sign in a relative hierarchy to Curtis Samuel, right? That 3 years, $35 million, that's kind of setting the top of the pyramid here in terms of the wide receiver signing. So be on the lookout for that. I think it's going to be an interesting storyline to watch. The tight end position, no real huge news here, but I think a couple things to potentially monitor. Josh Oliver traded from Jacksonville to Baltimore. He has missed all but four games in his two-year career, but former day two pick and traded to a team that knows tight ends. So broken back, broken foot to start his career. But just keep an eye on that, a deeper monitor, like a two tight end special, a team that knows tight ends, knows how to use them, has a history of using multiple of them. Just keep an eye on that. Looks like it was pretty low cost, too. Anthony Firkser back on a one-year deal with Tennessee. I think he's a sneaky bet to be the lead tight end there. So that is absolutely something we're going to be on the monitor for. I do think he's at like a deeper, I am going to probably select him in the next round. I'm in the backup running back range of the position. So I'm pretty much in like the late 20s, early 30s of the tight end position. He's going to be a pick for me coming up here on the, when I'm next on the clock in my startup draft. So, I just think it's got a potential to be pretty interesting uptick in valuation. So that's one that we're gonna be on the lookout and watch for sure. And then also Gerald Everett. So he ended up signing a contract late today with the Seattle Seahawks. It looks like it was a 1 year deal worth approximately $6 million and the ability to earn an extra $1 million. So you compare that to the Jonnu Smith deal. Again, Jonnu Smith signing multiple years, what, 4 for $50 million. This is basically a little bit more than half of that on a one-year basis. I think this is the right deal. So I think this is an interesting signing for Seattle and probably figures to be one of the this is a sneaky one, I think. I'm not sure how the market's going to react to it. And I kind of wish it was a couple of years, but it has everything to play for and all that motivation narrative there. So, I think Everett on a per route basis has been just as good as Jonnu Smith, and they're basically paying half of that for her. They're basically paying him half of his yearly salary over the 4 year deal. So it's a pretty good deal there for Seattle relative to Jonnu Smith. So I'm interested in that. Notably, Jonnu Smith did say this week that he's the most versatile tight end in the NFL. Just hoping he brings his versatility and that will allow him to actually break 500 yards receiving. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode of the Analytics of Dynasty. This is day 3 of the legal tampering period, and I think we're actually into the, we can call it the official signing period now. So all aboard on that train. So until next time, continue to brace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.